on the subject of temptation. I illustrated this fact in the temptation of our blessed Lord. Every appeal of the devil was an appeal made to something which was perfectly right, but the suggestion of the devil was that there should be satisfaction of the proper desire by turning aside, being enticed, drawn away from the will of God for him, what God sent his Son to do, of which he could say, "For this cause I came." But you've not yet reached sin. That's the point I want you to hear. Drawn away, tempted, drawn away by your own lust, and enticed, you've not yet reached sin. You can still back up. Lust is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Desire is not wrong. The fact that you are drawn toward lawlessness is not sin. The fact that you are enticed by suggested advantage toward breaking law is not sin. You are yet upon the highway of rectitude. Christ desired, but he never sinned. Christ was tempted, but he never sinned. You may have come as far as this many a day and yet have not sinned. You will perpetually have to come as far as this again and again in your experience. You will be conscious of desires for all kinds of things for which you have been made of God. Allurements will come, enticements and suggestion that you should step outside the proper line which you know full well and satisfy your craving by some illicit process. And I'd like to leave Morgan here and point out how invariably you then start trying to cover it. That's temptation. But it's not sin. When does sin begin? James is careful to tell us, "Then the lust, when it hath conceived," we may translate this word "conceived" here in order to help us by a number of words. It means all of the following: to clasp, to seize, to arrest, to capture. Here is a desire in my life. It is not sin. Here is temptation luring me from the line of rectitude. I'm not yet sinning to be tempted. The will within me decides that I shall turn from the line of rectitude and take this suggestion. Turn aside. Lay hold upon it, seize it, capture it. That's conception. What then? The act is committed. That is sin. When I seize the bait, the hidden hook seizes me. That's where I was when I started tonight. That impossibility, without a lot of shaking and a miracle from God, to get that fish off the line, which is the hook of sin, when they have grasped, seized, or laid hold on the sin. And the terrible problem facing the preacher is you see him in the grasp of that hook before you know they got there. And the preaching can't ever, in my experience, get them off the hook. I can't think like a fish. I know the Greek words here, just like G. Campbell Morgan. What goes through their stupid brains? It was once a high ambition of mine. Fish every day when I was a teenager. And I, like most things that I really give myself to, I set out to master the art. I was a good bass fisherman. a good trout fisherman. And I became a purist. I didn't care what season of the year it was, what was hatching or not hatching. I was a dry fly man. Can't hardly watch the movie A River Runs Through It without wanting to get up and dive through the screen. Used to tie my own flies. And that fine art, particularly as a dry fly fisherman, of setting the hook. If you aren't quick and haven't got control of your line and have good eyesight, you'll see the flash of the fish after he's touched that artificial bait and spit it out. That's the challenge of fly fishing. You got to see them when they're heading for it and start setting the hook before they hit the fly. They'll get there before you get the leader gathered up. Once that hook's set, not too many got away. And the poor pastor goes on his way and then sees the dumb fish biting in the current after the hook's set. Don't get this far. I'm telling you. Not too many spit the hook. For every fish that gets loose from the hook, scores of them go to the basket and die. The will within me decides that I shall turn from the line of rectitude, take this suggestion, lay hold upon it, seize it, capture it. What then? Conception. The act is committed, that is sin. When I seize the bait, the hidden hook seizes me. The hook is not sin. The hook is the penalty. The first pain of hell. The sin is in the deliberate choice of the will and the determined act by which I turn aside to answer not my desire but the allurement to the fulfillment of desire in an improper way. When you turn toward evil courses, when you go out upon the highway or into the hidden and secret and shameful place, you are not seeking God, you are turning from Him. In your heart and conscience, you know the thing which is right and the thing which is wrong. There is desire within you for vision, light, and life in its fullness. Oh, for the thrill and throb of a great life. Who does not desire it? Every man does who is physically, mentally, and spiritually sound. He desires it. It is the cry of his life after God, who says, at my right hand are joys forevermore, pleasures forevermore. But when you turn to the ways of lust and licentiousness, you are not answering that cry. You are answering the seduction which suggests that you turn by short and illicit methods to satisfy desire. Sin is the answer to the suggestion that I break law to satisfy desire. A man wins when he says, desire is perfectly right. It is right that I should desire vision and life at its fullest. But I must find these things along the line of law. If you listen to the voice and turn aside, know this and know it forever and be not deceived, you sin. And the wages of sin is death. Not done, but it's station break time. Get on telephone. Okay, no more calls. Remember, this is not only a revelation of the genesis of sin, how it begins. It is also a revelation of the nature of sin. It is not a thing to be pitied. It is a thing to be smitten, to be punished. If a man will turn away, he turns to death. For mark the last words of the text. The sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. The man who is indeed alive desires fullness of life, vision, sense of God, and turns to find fulfillment for these things in the evil and pernicious ways of ungodliness is not after God. He's attempting to get round God and win something which his nature wants without God, and no one ever succeeds. This is sin not merely against himself, not merely against the community, but against the cosmic order. Sin, as the willful choice of wrong, is not a part of God's cosmic process. It is rebellion. It is treason. It produces Judases. It is chaos. But every man who feels allurement to satisfy desire apart from the way of God, know this, that when he or she turns in answer to it, to the house of evil, to the method of wrong, that person is not after God. Quit kidding yourself. But lifting the fist of rebellion in the face of God. There can be but one issue for all such high treason. And that is the nemesis and the ruin of alienation from God and the consequent cutting off of the possibility of all that man most seeks after. So I come to our common use of the word lust. There is a poetic accuracy in it. What is lust? Desire, yes. But get a little lower down. What is lust? The Greek word suggests hard breathing, passionate desire, earnest desire. If man attempts to satisfy desire without God, what is the answer? Hard breathing, passionate, earnest desire which never can be satisfied. There are appalling illustrations of the truth of that which cannot be used here and now. God, help me to say this thing solemnly to you. Take hold upon any proper and natural capacity of your life, I care not what it be, and attempt to satisfy it outside the lines of God's law, and all you do is intensify the desire. You never satisfy it. That is perdition. The craving for things or a thing which never comes. The God created desire without the God provided bread. That is the issue of sin. There are those in this house tonight who know something of it. There are those here, I dare venture to affirm, who are conscious of the fact that the more they attempt to satisfy the craving of some inner desire without God, the greater the craving becomes. Take an illustration which is commonplace. Christ's supreme illustration of evil is mammon. Money and possessions. I pray you watch the man who attempts to satisfy his craving for possession without God. The craving for possession is perfectly right. God made man to hold a scepter and wield power. Jesus did not tell men they were not to answer the craving for possession. He did utter words sadly and awfully forgotten by the Christian church and the world at large, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. He did not say, lay not up treasures, but lay not up treasures upon earth. Then also he said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. He also said, no man hath forsaken all these things. houses, lands, etc. But what he says, he'll receive manifold those things, not only in the life to come, but here also. The desire to possess is perfectly correct. It is part of the proof of your relationship to deity. Here is a man who turns his back upon God. Or if he still names his name, breaks his law of love. Did you ever find a man coming, or did you ever find a man come to the moment, arrive there when he said, I'm satisfied with my getting? Is there not always an insatiable passion for more gold? Want to be a millionaire? Then 10 million? Then 100 million? A grasping devilishness that blights everything that is human in man and makes him cruel and hard and cynical, grinding all others to the dust that he may make his gold. You need not envy the man who, without God, has piled his millions. There is a greater hunger in him after possession than ever, and the more he possesses, the more he hungers. Lust, which is desire at its deepest, attempting to be answered outside the line of God's law, becomes in itself a very consuming fire, the worm that dieth not, and the fire that is not quenched. That is the issue or result of sin. I warn you with all love and earnestness, with all the passion of a strong conviction, and with all loyalty to my ordination vows to preach the cross of Christ. I warn you, do not be deceived by any philosophy which declares to you that sin is one of God's processes. It is man's poison and God's enemy. It is the one thing which has brought in its wake bitterness, anguish, and sorrow. If you answer the desire of your inner life outside the line of God's will, which you know full well, then the lust which was proper becomes a fire which cannot be quenched. Who here has never sinned? I am not asking whether you are a sinner by nature or not. I am not discussing that subject now. I pray you remember that in the mystery of incarnation and atonement, there are forces provided greater than the forces which you inherited by nature. Power greater than sin. Actually and personally, who has never fallen? The preacher of the gospel says, it is for the man who has sinned that Jesus came. The evangel of the New Testament, the good news, is for the sinner. Where does the gospel begin? It begins where sin ends. Mark the process. Lust, enticement, yielding, sin, death. Not death postponed, not physical death, but death here and now. Dead in trespasses and sins. Any of you there? Any of your loved ones there? Jesus Christ brings men as his first gift. Life from the dead. I don't know why they don't listen. A new vision. I don't know why they don't see it. A new sense of strength, why they don't seize it. The man who has become the slave of the evil thing to which he has turned himself may know his chain broken. I hope, before I quit preaching, someday, to see it happen. I shall keep preaching it. the fire quenched, the passion stilled, as the Master stilled the storm upon Galilee, and all the incompetence of the broken will made strong again. There is but one condition, and it is that man should turn from his sins to Christ and trust Him wholly and absolutely. Though you have answered lust outside law until lust has begun to be your judgment and your pain, even tonight, He will quench the fire, break the bands, and set you free. I hope I hear from someone to whom that happens. Do not, I beseech you, give these last words away in generalities. I'm getting weary of generalities. I mean you. You there, hidden away. Thank God you are hidden away. No eye is resting upon you save the eye of the Master. You are hidden away in the grip of sin. Its power for you and to you can be broken tonight and forever as you turn to Christ of God and trust Him with all your soul and mind and body and estate. May God help all such as feel the force of sin. Yes, may God help it. That all such as feel the force of sin will turn to that mighty Savior. Go on telephone.